good morning.
Do you have a dream?
What is this?
Pardon my French.
It's not a tumor.
That is what they have been saying, you idiot.
Hello? Anybody home? Hey!
Man.
Wait, let me explain something to you.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Well, hello. Welcome to another episode of the So To Speak podcast, the show about anything and nothing with a special interest for podcasting, radio and audio in general. All our content comes with an accent because, as you know, everything just sounds much better with an accent, at least. That's what we believe. I'm Load Rules. I'm your host for today. I'm an audio freak, news junkie, communicator, and a European Canadian. And I'm so stoked and so excited about this week's episode because a few days ago I had a great interview with Colin Boyd Schaefer. He is a Toronto-based photographer. And he is the mastermind, let's call it that way, behind a very original idea. Colin is taking pictures of people of every country represented in this wonderful city, Toronto, Ontario, that is, Canada. Great idea, great pictures, and a lovely chat I had with Colin earlier this week, a few days ago. You'll hear that interview in a few moments. It's hard to talk about images and to talk about pictures, obviously, in a podcast, in an audio medium, but it's worth a try. Trust me. And I got to tell you, starting to record this episode, I was walking on a little cloud. We received our very first rating and review in iTunes. And getting that very first review, that very first rating, that's a little bit like that first time your favorite teacher puts a little and positive note in your school agenda. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's usually in red. It's a little note in the sidebar. It says something like, well done, Load, or excellent job, something like that. And it's super exciting to see it. It's super exciting to find it. And you want to basically show it to the rest of the world. You want to go stand on the top of your roof and shout, I got my first note of my favorite teacher. Or in this case, it would be something like, I got my first rating and review on iTunes. Well, that's the feeling I had for a little while until my lovely wife was there to put everything in perspective again, to put me with my both feet on the ground. She said, what's all that with that iTunes rating and review thing? What are you all excited about? Well, that put me back on Mother Earth, but that's good, actually. I needed sometimes somebody to put my both feet back on the ground, so thank you for that. I need it once in a while. But anyway, thank you to the two people that can plead guilty for giving me my first rating and review, because it were actually two reviews and two ratings. Trevor and Teddy. Teddy826, I don't know who you are, but if you're listening to this, thank you very much. And Trevor was the second person that left a rating and a review. And Trevor's full name is Trevor Lorene, and I met him at Twitter as well. He started following our Twitter account, So To Speak Show. That's our username on Twitter. And we were engaged in a little conversation there on Twitter. And I believe he's working on getting his first podcast episode. That's what he told me. So he's aiming for April. That's the last thing I heard from him. He wants to get that first episode out as well. You can check him out at makeyoursomedaytoday.blogspot.com. So makeyoursomedaytoday.blogspot.com. Love that title, Trevor. Thank you very much for your rating and for your review on iTunes. And I'll definitely keep it in my favorites, and I'll check in regularly with you to see how work is advancing to get your first podcast out. In the second half of the show, by the way, talking about podcasting, I want to share with you two interesting podcasts. One is about social media, and the other one is about, well, motivation and innovation in general, actually, a podcast that Trevor Lorene, the guy I just talked about, suggested. So two podcast plugs like you're used from me in the second half of the show. First, and before we get to that interview with the guy behind Cosmopolis Toronto, Colin Boyd Schaefer, before we do that, I want to talk about a very funny video I found on the net the other day. I think it was on Twitter, and I believe I retweeted it because I usually retweet stuff I really like. It's a really fun video. I'm going to share it with you. Well, at least I'm going to share the audio, obviously. And I know the images do give it a little extra value, and it's a shame that I can't show it to you in an audio podcast. But still, audio only makes for a good laugh. It's a pretty funny video. And the title of the video is 15 Things That Will Inevitably Happen When You Are Working in an Office. And if you look at it, or if you are listening to it, that's what I'm going to share with you in a few seconds, the audio, you must say that it's dead on true. It's so true. We can all relate to that. I can relate to it. I work in an office as well. I wish podcasting was my major income and my professional activity was podcasting, but unfortunately it isn't. So I do have a day job and I'm working in an office, and some of the things that are in that video or in that audio clip I will share are so true and are so dead on, and I think it's worth sharing. So 15 things that will inevitably happen when you are working in an office. Here we go.
This is an office. It is where many of you will spend the majority of your waking life. And these are the things that will inevitably happen while you're there. You will begin your time working in an office wearing your finest clothing, only to wind up not giving a shit. Regardless of your best intentions, you will develop an addiction to caffeine. No matter what your relationship status, you will develop some sort of crush on a coworker. You will fall into one of two camps: the people who are always freezing, or the people who are constantly hot. You will start with one personal item in your office drawer, and then one day you'll open it up and realize your entire life is in there. Someone in your office will creep you out, and you will bond with someone else over mutually being creeped out. You will get exceptionally good at hiding Facebook on your computer. At some point, you will hear one of your coworkers pooping. That will be a low point. You'll come face to face with a coworker in the restroom and realize that they don't wash their hands, and that will change everything. You'll gain at least 5 pounds of fat from all the birthday cookies, cakes, and red velvet cupcakes that keep floating around. And just when you try to cut down on the sweets, your coworkers will pull you back in. You will fantasize about doing unspeakably strange things to your coworkers. At some point, you'll bring a personal friend to visit, and it will be unexpectedly awkward to introduce them to anyone you work with. You will get really excited about being good at some small task, and then hate it once everyone else starts asking you to do it for them. And you will form a group of friends in that office who will make every day a whole lot better.
There you go. That's the funny video I wanted to share, the audio at least. The voiceover is doing a pretty good impersonation of Morgan Freeman, by the way. I think that was the whole goal, and I think it's funny. I'll put it in the show notes. You can find them at sotospeakshow.blogspot.com, sotospeakshow.blogspot.com. That's where we live on the internet. And I'll put everything I say, all the links I mention and the tweets I mention, I will put it in the show notes. And I've tweeted it as well, I believe. And our Twitter handle is sotospeakshow. So to speak show. Don't forget to add the show in the end, because if you just type in so to speak, you'll end up in a completely different universe. It's a pretty dead account, but hey, it's claimed by somebody else, so nothing much we can do. Speaking about Twitter, when I'm recording this, it's about halfway February 2014. The Olympic Winter Games have just kicked off in Sochi, Russia. About a week ago, I guess it started, and a lot more than the sporting activity, the infrastructure has drawn a lot of attention, a lot of mockery from many people. And Twitter actually is buzzing with pictures and funny remarks about all the things that are going wrong in Sochi. Bad hotels, faulty stadiums, rooms, like all these comments and pictures are circulating on the net. A lot of things apparently go wrong in Sochi and that Russian city. And there's even a parody Twitter account that bundles all these things that go wrong. It's a very funny Twitter account. It's called Sochi Problems. So look it up on Twitter. I'll put it in show notes as well. Sochi Problems. if you want to have a laugh. And when I'm looking at all the misery down there and all the funny stuff and all the things that go wrong, I must say, to be very honest, I feel bad for the Russians, not so much for the politicians or the high executives who really and probably don't really care, but I'm feeling sorry for all these local people, all these workers, these volunteers, and normal Russian girls and boys that are working their butt off to make Sochi a success, because we do know that Russians are working very hard to make it into a success. And it's a mixed feeling you get when you look at this Twitter account, Sochi Problems. It makes you smile, but at the same time, it's something to think about. So feel free to amuse yourself, and so give a little bit of positive kudos as well to the people behind the Winter Games, if you can. Boy, oh boy, trust me, it's very hard to talk about images and pictures on a podcast which has audio only. But trust me, at the same time, the project I'm about to introduce to you is worth the try. Colin Boyd Schaefer is a Toronto-based photographer, and he has launched an intriguing project. His goal is to find and identify one person for every nation represented in this great city of Toronto. And then he wants to take two pictures of that person and put it all on a website. It's a great testimony to the diversity of the city and the multicultural vibes of Toronto. And the pictures he has posted so far on his website are amazing, and the stories behind these snapshots are even so compelling. Cosmopolis Toronto, that's the name of the project, Cosmopolis Toronto, and I had the chance to sit down with the man behind this idea a few days ago. And my very first question actually was about his own background. Who is Colin Boyd Schaefer?
I was born in Kitchener. I am, I guess I'm the descendant of people who come from, well, my grandparents came from England and Spain. That's where they were born. My father was born in the U.S., so I guess I'm the first Canadian in my family. I have a background as a teacher, a high school teacher. I'm qualified to teach psychology and geography, and so that ties in a little bit with this project. And my passion lies in photography. So this project, Cosmopolis Toronto, is kind of the result of these passions, I guess, coming into a project.
Passion for photography, and you've taken pictures in the past. Was this on your professional path, or is this just the beginning of a photographic career?
I mean, I really, really love teaching, and I mean, in the past, I actually started a photography project with Burmese refugees while I was teaching and living in Malaysia, and this project kind of tied together teaching and photography. And I think that even this project itself, it's still not, it's not as simple as, let's say, street photography, where you just kind of take pictures and then show them and see what people interpret them as. This is, I think, a learning experience, you know, for the viewer or reader. And so, for me personally, if I can continue on the path of not having to change what interests me in photography, and keep doing the type of pictures and the type of projects that I feel excited about, then I will be happy. And luckily, teaching is a good way to sustain an income and I guess kind of take care of certain responsibilities. I do not have an interest in becoming a wedding photographer or doing, I don't know, corporate shoots or these types of things. I like to do these types of cohesive series.
Yeah, we've been talking now about the project. You mentioned it a few times, Cosmopolis. What is it exactly? Explain what you're doing, what the project is all about.
Cosmopolis Toronto is a project where I've set out to photograph someone here in Toronto, born in every country of the world. So the slogan is, I'm photographing the world one Torontonian at a time. So far, so good. I've managed to photograph 141 different countries of birth represented here in the Greater Toronto Area. the project connects with me personally. As I explained, my grandparents came here, and my grandmother is included in the project as the UK participant. And, you know, it started as a crowdfunded project where I pitched the idea to the internet, basically to the online audience, and said, I really would like to do this. And people responded in a positive way. It was successfully crowdfunded. And after that, I've taken on a lot of team members, so it's not just me anymore. And that really has kind of made the project bigger than I ever could have imagined. But at the same time, I think that support says that something is right about it.
So the goal is to take a picture of every nationality represented in Toronto. Do you have an idea how many nationalities are in this city anyway?
I mean, I think I made a very difficult task for myself in saying I'm going to try and photograph the world. So far, you know, just the fact that, I mean, it's debatable first how many countries there are in the world. I think the Olympics recognizes 204, and the United Nations recognizes 193. So, you know, if I can get to around 190, I'll feel like that's a pretty amazing accomplishment. And if you look right now on the website, there's a tab that says participate, and this is the list of the countries that are still missing. And I think if someone takes the time to check out that list, they'll see that it's going to be a bit of a challenge. A lot of these countries are rather small in regards to population. And so it's going to be difficult to find someone who lives in the GTA who was born there. But it's still possible. I just hope that, or I won't stop the project if there's a country remaining that I... You know, even if I have a tiny little belief that there's someone in the GTA, I will try my hardest to find them. And luckily, social media, like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, as well as just Google searches, have been very helpful in me trying to find people. I don't think this project could have happened before social media.
You raise an important issue here. How did you find these people, especially in the beginning? Now there has been some media attention. We've seen it on social media, in the traditional media as well. But certainly in the beginning, okay, the big countries and the well-known countries obviously are pretty easy to find. But at a certain point, you have to really do some outreach, I guess.
I think to start, there was a sense that this project, or some people believed in it enough that they were willing to tell some of their friends. And so the word of mouth in the beginning helped. And those initial applicants that I received were coming from word of mouth from, you know, connections, friends of mine who were talking to their friends. And then also the traditional media did help in the beginning. I'm really lucky that Metro newspaper and Metro Morning on CBC were willing to do stories in the beginning, because the project hadn't really established itself, but they still did a piece on the fact that I was going to be doing this. And from there, a lot of people applied or showed interest. And then as the project goes on, there has been, you know, many of the participants that I'm now photographing have some connection to maybe participants before, or of course the online presence is now growing, so it's been easier to find people as well. One of the team members, Jillian, who's helping now, her whole purpose, she's the outreach coordinator. She's in charge of trying to track down these countries of birth that are missing from the list.
There's actually a list on the website where people can refer to and see if their country is on it or not. Maybe you disappointed people and they were eager to get their picture taken, but their country was already done, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of people that have obviously reached out, showed interest, and you know, I've said maybe some people don't realize that it's actually just one person for each country. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the idea here is that nobody is going to actually be representative of any country. And I'm not picking people based on, you know, how closely they fit with the majority of that place or whatever. And that's kind of part of the beauty of the project. I've said, I feel like I'm coining this term, but it's like diversity within diversity. A lot of the people I'm photographing have complicated backgrounds. You know, they're not just a person who was born in X country and their parents were, you know, from X country and so on. It's actually usually more complicated than that. And quite often, you know, migrants are actually the descendants of migrants, and, you know, humans move, and we always have. So I think that this project attests to that.
We should also mention that it's not only the picture you're publishing. There's always a little story behind the picture of the person, and that makes it even more interesting. That's definitely an added value, right?
I hope so. The two pictures that I'm doing, right? There's one that is the portrait, right, of the person where they feel at home in the city. And so some people will choose their actual home. Some people will choose their favorite restaurant. Others might choose their favorite park. And then the second photograph that I take is of the person holding something that connects them to their background. And so this is, you know, quite flexible as well. Sometimes it might be something very typical, you know, a traditional scarf or a traditional tea set. And then sometimes it's maybe something abstract. You know, it might be the person from Myanmar. They wanted to hold tree branches because it reminded them of the trees that they used to see when they were growing up in these hills in Chin State. And so, you know, other people, it might be their favorite music CD or their favorite type of food. You know, it's really interesting to see what people choose. And so that's the basis, the two photographs and the story, which is not, you know, it's kind of the type of thing where I hope that the photographs can speak for themselves. But at the same time, this isn't just, you know, I do want the person to have a voice and make sure that it's very clear at what was intended by what they chose and so on.
They represent their country and they represent Toronto, and I don't know a lot of cities in the world that could do this. I mean, this is such a multicultural, such a diverse city. It, to me personally, as an immigrant as well, it's a testimony to how diverse this city and this country is, and how immigrants are the future of this country.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think that one of the important points that comes out of this, aside from the fact that it's obviously a celebration of the city's diversity, is that we can't forget that this place, you know, was built by immigrants. You know, that what we see here today is the product of migration. And so people who today might, right, and not everybody's in this boat, but might be saying that migration to Canada should be controlled and that we should have less migrants and so on, I think sometimes they're forgetting that their parents or their grandparents did exactly that. They migrated here. And so I want this project, or I hope this project shows how awesome it is that we have this diversity, right? It's not just a diverse place. It's that it's a very, very beautiful, diverse place. And so I think that as time goes on, Canada is closing its doors a little bit more than it did in the past. And I want, or I hope, that we don't forget how important it is that we have this acceptance of the diversity.
Acceptance is a key word, I guess, and that's something you read in all the stories you publish, and everybody says it, that Toronto is such an accepting and welcome place that it's not them against the others, or it's we against them. It's you're a Torontonian here in this city. Everybody has, to some extent, foreign roots.
Yeah, and obviously within that, I do hope that I get to photograph someone who's a First Nations person. Because I also think that it's important to remember that history. But yeah, it's the type of thing where Toronto, and that just that label of Torontonian itself is very open. And that's what's kind of cool about it. I recognize the fact that for many people, they may come here and it may take a long time, or maybe they never consider themselves Canadian, right? Maybe that's a more complicated identity, right? That takes more time or what have you. Or maybe they don't want to shed themselves of whatever of other identity they have from their country of birth. But I think people are fairly quick to accept the fact that they are a Torontonian, right? Where it doesn't have that same level of, like, I don't know, difficulty in accepting that, okay, I'm a Torontonian. And oddly enough, I'm not a Torontonian, right? I'm from Kitchener. But I guess my family moved to Toronto, and so even though my grandma might not want to admit to it, right, she's still British, but I think she's a Torontonian.
That's exactly the thing. Once you move to the city, you're a Torontonian, and it doesn't matter where you come from Kitchener or from the UK or from another country. Colin, what strikes me is that they all have the same look in the picture. They're not really smiling. They're not looking emotionally, but they have the same almost neutral zen-like look, and they look straight into the camera. That's obviously on purpose. That's what you asked them to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the one thing I want to avoid is a smile, right? I think that when we have a picture taken, especially in a great city like Toronto, a lot of people are, you know, tourists visit the city and take snapshots, right? Smile, you know, and then they put it in a family album. I didn't want it to look like a project of, you know, people who have migrated here who are tourists, right? For me personally, in my portraiture, the projects I've done before, a lot of time I do prefer that kind of a neutral look. The reason is, I mean, I'm sure other people will come up with other reasons, but for me, I feel like I want the viewer to connect with the subject, with the person who's being photographed. And I think it really does. It allows for a moment where, instead of me, because of a very evolutionarily clear explanation of when someone smiles, it's a natural reaction for me to look at their mouth, right, and look at their smile. So I think by avoiding that one aspect, we can focus on other things, right? We can focus on the person's eyes, we can focus on what they're wearing, we can focus on the scene, and then we can maybe think deeper about what they're thinking or maybe read their story. And also, if I'm having a good day, maybe I will feel really happy looking at the photograph. Or if I'm having a bad day, maybe I'll feel contemplative and deep, you know? And that's, I like that variety instead of it just being like, happy, happy, everyone's happy. And I mean, that's not the truth, right? And one thing that I hope that hasn't come from the project is I hope that people don't see it as, you know, me having this agenda of wanting to show how wonderful and happy the city is. To be honest, I've grown to like Toronto more doing this project. I always liked the city, but I love the city, and I think that it's become a lot more beautiful through me doing this project, because I am, you know, a little bit of an outsider as well. I've never lived in Toronto until, you know, this year. So yeah, I think that's all part of the package, is having people who aren't, you know, obviously you'll see varying degrees. There's a couple people in the series that I think they're kind of smiling a tiny bit.
Stretching the limit.
Yeah. And there's also some people that seem like maybe they're a little more stern or a little more serious.
Yeah.
And I think that variety is fine.
Wrapping up here, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's actually an exhibition going on right now?
Yeah. So the exhibition, it's the first for the project. It's on until February 22nd at the Toronto Centre for the Arts. We will also be participating in the Scotiabank Contact Photography Festival, as well as hopefully planning further exhibitions of the photographs that haven't yet been exhibited. Hopefully that exhibition that's at the Toronto Centre for the Arts will travel to other places. You know, I hope that other cities in Canada would hopefully want to see this. And, you know, I just think of, you know, rural Canada. I'm sure it would be very interesting to see how amazingly diverse a city like Toronto is. And then hopefully, you know, other cities in the world like New York, maybe there's a connection to be made there, or Vancouver or wherever. It would be nice to see it travel. And then ultimately, I want it to be a book. And that's going to be a big task. But I think that that, you know, a project of this breadth, I think that I don't think anyone else has ever done this, you know, so I think that would be a really cool thing to have.
It would be a great project, and it would be a great testimony to the diversity, again, of this city. Say again the website where people can find you.
It's cosmopolistoronto.com. There's also the Instagram, which is Cosmopolis Toronto. There's also Twitter, Cosmopolis TOR, and Facebook page, Cosmopolis Toronto. So there's lots of different ways that we're trying to connect with people.
And for people that may hear this and think, I'm checking if my country is not on or is on the list, there's that famous list is on your website as well, right?
If there's anyone listening who's from Tuvalu Island, you know, please, I'm dying to talk to you. That's please.
Special outreach to my Tuvalu listeners. All right, great. Thank you very much for your time and all the best with your project.
Thank you.
Yeah, Colin Boyd Schaefer, interesting guy, the man behind Cosmopolis Toronto. Definitely check it out. It's worth it. You will not be disappointed. All the details and all the links will go in our show notes, and you know where to find them. It's at sotospeakshow.blogspot.com. So sotospeakshow.blogspot.com. You know that this show is about podcasting as well, obviously, because I am an avid listener of podcasts and I am a fan of this way of communicating. I try to give some kudos each week to other podcasters. If you are a podcaster, if you're listening right now and if you're interested in being featured in this show, well, follow us on Twitter and drop me a line there or do some retweeting. I don't care. It's a way of getting noticed. I have to notice you on Twitter before I can actually plug you. So I will add you to this overview eventually if you engage in a conversation with me on Twitter. This week, I want to talk about two podcasts that sparked my interest. The two I want to plug are Social Media Unscrambled and Inspiring Innovation. The first one, Social Media Unscrambled, is hosted by Chris Curran and David Deutsch. It's a weekly 30 to 45-minute show. It's going live on Tuesdays at Fractal Stream Internet Radio Station. And then it's issued as a podcast after the live broadcast. And, well, as the title mentions, it talks about social media issues and social media topics. It's really entertaining. It's really interesting. You hear a lot of new things. Great dynamic between Chris and David there on the show. And, you know, I always want to showcase the very first minute or so of a podcast I plug. So here is the, well, more or less first minute of Social Media Unscrambled.
Social Media Unscrambled.
Yes. Oh, I talked over the giggle. Anyway, this is episode 31. Woo! 31, the number of Dave Winfield, my old favorite baseball player from the Yankees.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So this is awesome. Welcome, everybody, and welcome to Social Media Unscrambled. I'm Chris Curran, and you are David Deutsch.
Yes, I am. Good to see you, Chris.
You're David Deutsch every week, and you're the founder and chief strategist at Synergy Social.
Yes, I am.
SynergySocial.com and all
yes,
that.
Yes, it is.
And I'm Chris Curran. I'm the owner of Fractal Recording. That's where we are. We're in studio. If you're ever in northern New Jersey on a Tuesday at 1:30, you know, come sit in on the show.
It's a lot of fun.
Come hang out with us. Our website, socialmediaunscrambled.com. And, you know, we have Facebook, Twitter, Google+. And the podcast is also on iTunes and Stitcher. So we do the show live every week for, you know, 30, 40 minutes at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Then we podcast it on our website and iTunes and Stitcher. So find our podcast, and the show last week, David, was off the hook, really.
Yeah, uncrumbled, I think is what I called it last week.
And our guest called it a delightful disaster.
A delightful disaster. I think that's the best quote we've had so far.
That is just tremendous.
A very interesting show, Social Media Unscrambled. You can check them out at socialmediaunscrambled.com. Socialmediaunscrambled.com will be on our website as well, sotospeakshow.blogspot.com. Next plug of the week is a podcast called Inspiring Innovation. Inspiring Innovation. And as I mentioned before, this was actually suggested to me by Trevor Lorene, the guy I talked about in the beginning of the show. He is getting help to set up his own podcast, his future own podcast, from a gentleman called Maron Bereket. And Maran is in Israel, and this makes his podcast interesting to me because of two things, obviously. First of all, the content. It's about innovation, it's about inspiration and motivation in general. It's always interesting to hear people talk about it and to hear also interviews about motivation and inspiration. So that's the first reason. And the second reason, obviously, for me personally is because he has an accent as well. He is an Israeli guy who is podcasting. He speaks very well English. It's difficult to tell his accent. Sometimes you hear it, but immediately that relates to me, obviously, because I have an accent too. It's actually the baseline of this show. Everything sounds better with an accent. So here's the intro to his show, Inspiring Innovation by Maran Brackett.
If you don't even know where you're from, or if you don't even know how you got here, how the hell are you going to know how to answer what's your why, what's your purpose?
You are listening to the Inspiring Innovation Podcast, your weekly backstage pass to success. And now, your host, coming to you live from Lake Galilee, Israel, it's Maran Brackett.
Hello and welcome everybody to episode number 44 of the Inspiring Innovation Podcast. I'm your host, Maran Brackett, coming to you live every Thursday from Lake Galilee, Israel. And today, our episode is the first one that I only had one word for the episode title. And today's title is Purpose. And before I go into today's episode, I just want to let you know that next week we're going to be announcing a very cool, I don't know if to call it giveaway, but one of you guys is going to get a real treat that's going to really, really help you make the first step in entrepreneurship in 2014. And we are all going to be able to participate. So that's really, really cool.
And then it goes on for a while. Maran Brackett and the Inspiring Innovation Podcast. You can find him at his own personal website. That's maranbrackett.com. I'm not going to spell it out. You can find the link on our own website, sotospeakshow.blogspot.com. Two plugs of this week. Very interesting podcasts. By the way, talking about podcasting and promoting a show, I added the So to Speak Show on Stitcher this week. So we are now also available on Stitcher. There's a link on our website actually bringing you to Stitcher. I was using Stitcher for my original podcast, the one that's been going on for many years now in Dutch. But I added this one, my English podcast, So to Speak Show, as well to Stitcher. I love the fact that you can actually download their app, Stitcher app, and then listen to a variety of shows, including mine, by the way, since a few days. So that's definitely good, definitely something to check out if you find the time on Stitcher, or use the link to our Stitcher page. Is it a real page? I guess it's just half a page they dedicate to you. You can find it all on our website. Now, some people might say, hey, wait a minute, Lo, didn't you promise a good old microphone shout-out last time? Yes, I did. If you listen back to episode number 2, I did promise you a microphone shout-out. But frankly, look at the time, guys. I'm running out of time here, and I want to do it properly. I don't want to just do it in 2 minutes. I want to make it a good old and proper, decently done microphone shout out. So that's something on the agenda for next week for sure. I will include it in the next episode. I'll do a comparison between the Rode Procaster, the microphone I'm using right now, by the way, again, I'm using my good old Rode Procaster broadcast microphone again to record this. So that will be the first microphone. Secondly, I will do the test also with the Neumann TLM-102, great and expensive microphone, condenser microphone, and then the ATR-2100, the one I bought recently, the one that I used to record episode number 2. And I will throw in, well, not literally throw in, that would be harmful for my smartphone, but I will throw in, figuratively speaking, my smartphone as well, because I discovered that it has a pretty decent recording tool as well. In case of an emergency, if you have to do an on-the-spot interview and you don't have any recording software or hardware, that is, it's really good to use your smartphone. I'm using a BlackBerry QRZ10. I can't remember which one it is, but that's going in the comparison as well. So that's for next week, something to look forward to for the next episode. I have nothing more to say to you. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day or what's left of it, and glad to hear you next time on the So to Speak Show. Bye-bye.
Good.